Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 12:13. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So there, through the new birth and the Spirit of God in us, we are in one body and we have this spiritual life, connection, fellowship, oneness. By the way, Pastor Barry and I go to Hungary tomorrow night. We fly for, we'll be there 1 week and come back. And you guys will have a great time here without us, but we'll have our portion there, hopefully. Pray for us. We are one body. Also, Uricon, and where will Uricon be? And we'll be praying for that and deciding very soon. Also, Matt Garrett had a baby boy. His wife did. I don't know if he's here. Pastor Matt, we're happy about that. We are one body. Could I have my little folder there, the top one? And so verse 13, we are body life. We know this. This is a blessing for us in our church that we learned about body life by the cross, by the filling of the Spirit, and we found it with each other, and we give a lot of room to each other without those five words that we taught this morning in 1 Peter 2:1. Because of being born again, then we have learned to live a different way, and we avoid those things that very much drive a wedge between people. That's what I want to say tonight. I want to speak about words, and we're gonna do that. And then I asked Pastor Love to make some comments at the end of the service on that subject. So verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all, by the way, also all the new people that are coming to church on in the mornings and also evening, it's so good to have you here. But I'm encouraged by people looking for Christ, looking for fellowship, looking for the teaching of the Bible. What a great thing that is. Looking for the love, looking for God's mind, God's heart, the Bible to speak to my heart. Looking for, I don't even know what I'm looking for, but when I find it, and it's a treasure. So verse 13 is what it is. Whether we are Jews or Gentiles, African immigrant, Native American, old or young, educated or not, wealthy or not, from there, from here, from Virginia Beach, from Harford County, whatever, verse 13, we are bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Hungarian or Ukrainian, Turkish or Finnish, Chinese or American, the marvel of our conferences is that when we gather, we drink the same Spirit. This glorifies God. In the words of Jesus, it is the evidence that I came is the kind of love that we have for each other. How we talk, what we say to each other, what we do not say. Go to 1 Peter 2 with me, and we see those five words in chapter 2. Now, in chapter 1, we have the new birth. We have being born again, verse 23. Born again of incorruptible seed of God's word, the word of the Lord. in verse 25. Because of being born again, and then the Spirit of God in us, and the new direction we have, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And then we learn words. We learn the Word of God. We have the Word of God dwelling richly in us. And because we're under a pulpit, then we get trained in how we think and how we talk. We are corrected in our thinking here in chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, wherefore laying aside. It really is saying, get rid of these five things that are listed here. Get rid of them. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that means evil intention, hoping the worst on another person. Now the person has a new car. I hope that, and it's a bad, bad thought. They have a good job, a nice family, they have a good marriage, or they're not married. They are happy. They're happy people, and you get this attitude, and it's malicious. So that's that word in that verse 1. And all guile, it says, put it away. That's the deceit. The way we can explain something two different ways, put a spin on it, and maybe mislead somebody in how they think, or maybe the facade, the hypocrisy, third word, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a big problem in religion. We make the effort so we give the right projection. We give the right impression. We live in hypocrisy. We are spending a lot of time on the outside wanting to give the right impression. But this isn't needed because we drink the same spirit. We are spirit-filled out of our belly. We are pure in spirit, in heart. We have our heart, our mind, and words. Words, we're honest. We are not misleading, best we can, by the grace of God, by being spirit-filled. There's not a game. It's real. Now, why do I say this? Because we just had I said it a few times, marriage retreat. It was a women's seminar. All right, so we had a women's seminar. We've gone through our summer. We've had conferences. We went through COVID. We went through a lockdown with COVID. We were on the rooftop preaching. We've had all kinds of different things in the last years. We've been here about 17 or 18 years. I don't know what us being leading here. Us as a body, we from the 2005 period. And do you know how easy it is for wedges to be driven between people? Do you know how easy it is for this thing to be bad? So I said that this morning, and I met a family. They're new here, and they just wanted to talk to me. They go, when you said church can be bad, we've lived through that. And thank you for saying it. And a lot of us know this. We're only a little bit far away from saying things that are not edifying, getting on track of something that is not from the Spirit. It's not from the Holy Spirit. It's not edifying. It's gossip. It has a sound of, let's say, a sound of a complaint. It's a irritation. It's something troubling you, like behind your words is some irritation, and you have to say it. You have to attack, or you have to say things. And this is so common. It's so common. But I have not found that. The reason I'm saying it, because I don't find that with us. Because you keep it to yourself. You keep away from me. You're not. I don't hear you talking. And in Hungary, because we didn't understand the Hungarian language so much, and we weren't totally immersed in the culture, not knowing like I am in America. I'm an American. Wow, that's a blessing. I know what's going on more. Actually, it's not a blessing. But I want to say this. I want to say it like very clearly. I understand this thing. I understand it. I do. I have seen it. I know the flesh. Don't you? You know the flesh. Now, if you go from verse 1 to verse 2, as newborn babes. Now, babes are fragile, vulnerable. They can get sick easily. They can be, they are needy. They need milk. Verse 2. Desire the sincere. The word sincere means pure milk of the word. The Bible is like meat, also milk. You got to have it. You got to learn it. I'm not kidding you. Your life will be on another level. You'll be able to, you'll be able to say things. You'll be able to encourage. You'll be able to praise God when nothing is going on. You're able to live in faith. You're able to see things that other people can't see. Because you live in faith, you're able to love. It's amazing. It is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Luke 11:13. If you lack the Holy Spirit, ask. Because if you ask for bread, he'll not give you a stone. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, then he'll give it to you. Meaning the filling of the Spirit, the influence of the Spirit. Okay. So go to verse 2. This is what happened to you and I. I'm explaining it to you. It's true. It's real. I'm telling you, and I know you know it. It's real. It's amazing. Yeah, that you're in Tapio over there, Pastor Tapio. He's from Finland. Maybe this is an old story I've told many times. We're in the office at Albertinkatu. I go, let's get in the car and drive to a village and evangelize. He was there as a teenager, and he got saved. And here he is sitting in the congregation tonight 40 years later, at least, 45 maybe. I mean, whatever. So, but he knows, and we know, that we desire the pure milk of the Word, not from people. Not from people, but from the heart of God. And what does it do? We grow thereby. Verse 2, we grow thereby. So we get a new way of living. Not the first verse. That's not the way to live. Verse 1 is not malice, not guile, not hypocrisy, not envy, and not evil speaking. No. That's, we don't need it. Go now to Proverbs 10. I want to finish up our word here, and it's really precious, these verses. Verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife. Why are you saying that? Why is there strife? Why are you fighting with me? Why are you angry with me? Why are you stirring up strife? Has anybody ever had that in your home? Have you ever had it in the kitchen? Have you ever said something that somehow you get in a fight over something? Why are we even talking about this? Why is this even, where is this even coming from? I've taught it before. It's like a frog coming out of your mouth. A frog comes up, whoop. Out comes a frog, and Egypt was filled with frogs. And sometimes when you are talking, the room is full of frogs, and they're all coming out of your mouth. Where is that in the Bible? Isn't it Revelation 16? Out of the mouth of the kings comes frogs. They are demons. They come out. It's happened to me. Go ahead. Be honest. Go ahead. Raise your hand. Go ahead. It's happened to me. Okay. All right. Look at the verse. Where did the strife come from? It says in the verse 12, hatred. Hatred in the heart. Jealousy in the heart. Envy in the heart. How many of us, I said this morning, the New England Patriots won Super Bowl after Super Bowl and we started to hate them. Hated the New England Patriots, some people. I'm just saying. Why is that guy that's always winning in the swimming Olympics, why is he always winning? He's got 48 gold medals. Michael Phelps, right? All right, so did he have any enemies? Sure he did. Jealousy. How about a pastor who's successful somewhere in our country and he's being used of God, whether it's a Billy Graham or David Jeremiah or whoever he might be? Is he hated? Of course. Man is like this. He has envy, jealousy. How about in your neighborhood? There's some neighbor, you don't even know who they are. Somehow they don't like you. Does that happen? That those wedges that are driven between people are real. And the Bible is teaching us that that is not to happen with you and I. We are not to have those thoughts. We're to have the sincere milk of the word. We are to look at things a certain way. Well, go to the next verse, 17. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. I'm not going to say anything about that. I want you to lean over to your neighbor and preach a message on that verse. Go ahead. You can do it. He is in the way of life that keeps instruction. What kind of instruction? Bible teaching. If you keep Bible teaching, if the Bible is taught to you, if you have the sincere milk of the word, then you will be in the way of life. But if you refuse to be corrected, you refuse to go to the face the music, you refuse to have the truth to be corrected, you refuse, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I'm doing it my own way, then you err. Okay, so that's the message. You don't have to lean over to your neighbor now. Go to the next one. Verse 18. He that hides hatred with lying lips. Oh, you look so wonderful today. Huh? You look so wonderful. That dress looks so nice, good on you. Oh, you look so shiny, bright, and shining. Look at verse 18. I hide hatred. I hide it with lying lips. And then I utter a slander against you behind your back. I am a fool. I am a fool. Please memorize that verse. It'll speak to you. I am a fool. I am not honest, not transparent, not spirit-filled, not edifying, not filled with the Spirit, not in the body of Christ, not drinking the Spirit of God. I am a fool. I am here, but there's no real change in my life. The way I talk, the way I am thinking, the way I process with jealousy, envy, division. I attack the pastor, the elders, the trustees, the church, the people in it, the women, the teachers, all kinds of things that happen because of the hearts of men. Those are words. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay, take a break now from me for a minute. I just give you 1 minute. When I start talking, quiet down. And turn to your neighbor and just say, what's he talking about? Yes, help me understand. What is he saying? Go ahead. Oh, I got to yell out and shout. He is a fool. He is a fool. I got to shout it out. He is a fool. I have seen them. I have met them. I have been with them. He is a fool. His reputation, the trust fell. He's walking on that side as you go to the other side of the street. He has lost friends. He has been in the garbage can. He is a gossiper, a slanderer. And he has nothing to do. Jesus Christ maybe saved his soul. Hallelujah. I hope so. But the way he is living is not good. He has not found it. He doesn't know it. But he just yaps, talks, gossips, slanders. Oh, why do you live in that? Why do you live in that? Why do you talk like that? Why do you think like that? Because you are jealous. Because you want to destroy the guy that's winning. You will crucify Jesus Christ just because of jealousy and envy. You'll say, crucify him, and you don't even know what you're doing. He is a fool. We'll go to the next verse. These are our series. We'll go to verse 20. No, 19. In the multitude of words, there does not lack sin. Have you ever felt like you talked too much? I have sinned. I think I went over my limit. In the multitude of words, there is so much room for sin in all the talking that is going on, the layers behind the words and so on. But he that refrains his lips is wise. What a lesson. Learn how to stop talking. Learn how to talk and then stop in a timely way. Learn how to control your own mouth from a heart that is spirit-filled. Wow, what a lesson. Lord, help us. We got to stop right there and say a prayer. Oh, Jesus, please help me. Help me, God. Right? What I say and how I say it and how we live and how we edify. I'm telling you, you can have a spirit-filled brother, and that brother, when you are around him, you feel edified. Well, you have a spirit-filled brother who is in love with Jesus, has a prayer life, and learns how to edify. That person is a great blessing to be with. You want to ride in the car with him. You want to see him on the street. You want to be with him on the sidewalk. You want to be with him in the cafe. You want to be with him in life. You want your kids to know him. You want your grandkids to hang out with him or her, because she just is a very loving, edifying, very encouraging person. Isn't that amazing? He does a lot of good. Now, last one. No, there's two more, 20 and 21. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. What do you need a wicked guy talking about? What's he talking about? He doesn't have much value. He doesn't have much to say. He doesn't have much value. He might be a great guy, but he doesn't have much to say. He doesn't have a lot of, there's not a spirit of what, you know, the spirit, the ministry of encouragement and of love. The lips of the righteous feed many, verse 21, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Could you say verse 21 out loud with me? Lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The fools die because they lack wisdom. But the lips of the righteous feed many. Let's read verse 21 one more time. The lips of the righteous feed many. Let's stop there. The lips of the righteous feed many. Have you ever had a 30-second talk, one-minute talk, and you got something? You carry it away with you. That righteous man fed me. That word that I got from that guy, that was a good word. I needed that. I needed that. I was on a visit yesterday morning in White Marsh with Teddy and his family, and that man built us up. That man is a spirit-filled guy. Boy, that was a lot of fun. The ribs of the righteous feed many. Okay. I have one short story, and I'm done. This is, my son had two daughters, one who's five, one who is in the terrible twos. The grandmother says that the child is in the terrible twos, and believe me, she is. For several years, my son has taken the oldest girl out for a date time, but he never taken the two-year-old until recently. On his first date with the younger one, okay, two-year-old, having a date with a two-year-old, wow, that's really young. He took her out to breakfast at a local fast food restaurant. They had just gotten their pancakes, and my son decided that it would be a good time to tell this little girl how much he loved and appreciated her. Jenny, I want you to know how much I love you, how special you are to Mom and me. We prayed for you for years, and now you're here and growing up to be such a wonderful girl. We're so proud of you. Once he had said this, he stopped talking, reached for the fork, and started to eat the pancakes. But he never got the fork in his mouth. His daughter reached out her little hand and laid it on his father's hand. His eyes went to hers, and in a soft voice, she said, Daddy, longer. He put down his fork and proceeded to tell her some more reasons and ways they loved and appreciated her. And then he wanted to eat the pancakes. A second time, she said, more, Daddy, more, longer. Third time and a fourth time. He didn't eat much that morning, but his daughter got the emotional nourishment she needed so much. Cute little story, isn't it? More, longer, Daddy, longer. Hey, that's how I feel. We are needing to be loved. I need the joy. Help me with my joy. I need laughter. Help me with the laughter. Goof around with me. Help me live a life full and satisfying. What we receive, we in turn can pour out to people. We are loved and edified and encouraged because of words. It's so easy to tear people down and drive a wedge between people. Do you know what he said about you? Do you know what she really thinks about you? We all know that whole thing. That's not us. No. We have something in us. We drink the Spirit, and we learn what that means. Amen. All right, let's take the offering. Lord Jesus, bless the giving. Bless the giving of money. Pour your blessing on your people. Show us that tithing is so profitable. It's such a blessing to give, to tithe, to share our blessings. And bless the rest of our night here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus is all we need. Amen.
Wow.
I'd like to sing in that group if it's possible. Pastor Tom had a one-liner. I could probably do that. I could squeeze that in without offending too many people. So, Lord, thank you for such a good word that we just heard. We can take that with us, Lord, not only from the chapel tonight, but throughout our lives. So, just use these words now that we'll share in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus said something interesting. In verse 34, the 12th chapter, he said this, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So imagine going to a doctor and explaining to the doctor what all of your symptoms were. And imagine the doctor only addressing your symptoms, and not the root problem. You might want to get a different doctor, especially if the nature of what he was treating you was serious, right? Let's say you had a heart condition and, you know, you felt a little tired, and he said, well, apparently all you need is more rest. And when in reality, maybe there was a serious condition behind that. We would want him to treat the root cause. It would kind of be like, you know, if you have you're bleeding and you go to the doctor and says, well, just put a Band-Aid on it, you know, and then it continues to bleed and it starts to bleed more profusely. And you call him up and say, you know, it's the bleeding is getting worse. Well, use a bigger Band-Aid. You know, we might think to ourselves, I don't think that you really understand what my problem is. And I think what's so beautiful about coming to church is, you know, Pastor Schaller's message a moment ago, he wasn't simply addressing our words. He was addressing our hearts. Because that's the real issue, isn't it? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then Jesus, a couple of verses later, verse 37, listen to what he said. And when I read this for the first time as a young believer, I thought, I'm in a lot of trouble. It says, for by your words, you're justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. And I thought to myself, well, I'm condemned because, you know, I know what my words have been like. And we all know what our words have been like. We would love to be able to say to people, I have never spoken an ill word, an unkind word, a negative word, a critical word throughout my whole life, except now I just lied to you. Because, you know, it's kind of shocking when you hear either other people hear you or you hear other people that are believers, and maybe they don't know you're around, or maybe they don't know anybody's even present, and they say something, and it's like, wow, shocking, but not really, because we know what's in our hearts. And when he said this, I was very concerned when I read this in verse 37, by your words, you're justified. And I thought, well, my words, the sum total of my words would not justify me. And I thought, was Jesus taking issue with the Apostle Paul? For Paul said that a man is justified by faith in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have. And I thought, was Jesus is saying something different? But he wasn't. He was speaking of the present condition of a person's heart. In other words, this doesn't have anything to do with our being justified in the sight of God, because that is on the basis of faith in what Christ accomplished on our behalf. The blood of Christ justifies us. But when we speak and our words are not consistent with the mind of God, and our words don't build up, and our words don't edify, it reveals that there's something wrong with the present condition of our souls. That's all. It just means that something's not right in the heart. And doesn't God spend a lifetime with all of us dealing with the issues that relate to our hearts? He said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, the whole reason I brought you through the wilderness was to prove you and to find out what was in your hearts. And you could say the same thing he is doing with our lives, always testing our hearts, always bringing to our attention if there needs to be an adjustment, a grace adjustment, if something needs to be addressed. When you think of James, the third chapter, and all that James said about the heart, it's a fascinating chapter. Because as we heard tonight, you know, life and death, Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. We can wake up on any given day, and with our tongues, we can go out into our world, and we can kill people everywhere. Or we can bring life. We can minister to them. We can build them up. And I think that as believers, all of us, we're in the construction business, amen? We spend a lifetime building up other people. In fact, it has been a staple of this ministry for decades, since its beginning, to build people up. When people come into our ministry, they get built up. We're happy to see them. We welcome them. We love them. That's the nature of God's people. But I love what James said. James said, early on in that third chapter, he says, mark this down. You have found a mature believer when you have discovered someone who controls their tongue. Amen. I love that. And he goes on. He says so many things. He says the tongue is a restless evil. He says the poison of asps is under the tongue. We know it's a restless evil because so many people talk in their sleep. Right? My wife does that sometimes, and it wakes me up. And sometimes she's really, like, she's carrying on a conversation. And at times, my name is mentioned in it. So I wake up, and I hear her saying something, and I says, and so I want to, like, draw a few things out of her. Like, so what did he do? What did he say? Are you upset with him? Do you like him? Because she's talking in her sleep. And sometimes the conversation goes on until the next thing I hear is, what are you doing? I was like, oh, nothing. You were just talking in your sleep. I was trying to get you back to sleep. It's a restless evil. And then as you keep going in that third chapter in the book of James, listen to what it says. James says, you know what? We can train wild animals. We can train tigers. We can take wild animals and we can domesticate them. We can control them. It's incredible. And then he says this, and I think this is a liberating word from God. He says, but the tongue no one can tame. And you read that and you think to yourself, oh, there's no hope. No, it's just God's way of saying, you can't do it, but I can do it for you. You can't do it any more than you can save yourself. Or cleanse your own sins. Or redeem your own life. Those things are impossible. Well, he also says right along with that is that you can't tame your tongue. Which means it is so vital that we are what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit can control our tongue. The Holy Spirit can make sure that we edify one another. Build up the hearers. So thank God for the church. Because the church is God's encouragement zone. But we can take that encouragement zone, we can take it home, and our homes can become the encouragement zone. We can take it to work, and the workplace becomes the encouragement zone. We can take it to school, and the schoolroom becomes the encouragement zone. Because everywhere we go, we can bring this construction business with us. We can build up, we can edify, we can minister grace to the hearers. Long ago, I think we all learned, our tongues, we can't control them. God says, what you can't control, I can. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness, and you'll see what a difference I can make, even with your tongue. The tongue, it's so interesting, that third chapter of James. It is, the Greek word is micron. It is the micron member, but it has the power to do the megala damage. Can't control it. God says, that's why you need me. That's why you need to be filled with the Spirit. And the psalmist, well, I'll close with this. He said, Psalm 141, verse 3. He said, Lord, set a watch over my mouth and keep the door of my lips. Doesn't that say it right there? Set a watch. You know, you think of a watch, you think of something that's being guarded, right? Well, God says you need a watch over your mouth. Keep the door of your lips. And above all else, guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the words we've heard here tonight. Such invaluable lessons we can take away just by coming and assembling and being together in church. We're so grateful. If someone's here tonight, you've never made a decision to trust Christ. You could spend a lifetime trying to make your words right, but it all begins with your heart. And if your heart hasn't been given to God, and God hasn't replaced your corrupt, sinful, depraved heart with his own heart, a new heart, then you cannot know where you'll go when you leave this life. You cannot have the assurance that you will live eternally with God. If you've never made a decision to trust Christ, do it tonight as we close this part of the service. Say, Jesus, come into my heart and live. Cleanse me of my sins. Give me that new heart, which will give me a new way of living and a new way of speaking. If you said that prayer, just put your hand up and put it right back down. We want to pray for you tonight, anyone in the audience. Father, thank you again for these thoughts tonight. Greatly encouraged our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we move into praise and worship and time of prayer, if you have to leave, just ask that you would leave quietly as we will continue the service through praise and worship and prayer. Thank you.